Well, we think about the message today, and the message is truly you've heard hopefully at some point in your life, maybe several times in a personal study or in a sermon, about the Lord being a good shepherd. It's one of the most fond passages of Scripture in all of the world. Even other faiths or no faith at all have heard of the good shepherd passage in Psalm 23. And then Jesus says in John 10, as we heard Pam just so eloquently read about Him being a good shepherd that protects, not as a hireling or somebody that turns around and allows wolves to devour, but someone that lays down their life. And so indeed we have that in Christ. I want to ask you a question in this declaration of the gospel and this good news that we've heard about Jesus. Have you ever heard anywhere in the recording of Scripture, have you ever heard Jesus even ever speak of Himself in a negative, defeated way concerning Himself? Have you ever heard Jesus in a negative, defeating way speak anything about that in concerning Himself? He never did He? He never spoke a word of negativity or defeat about Himself and His call, His ministry, His witness. It was always a word of life. Now, there was a word sometimes of provoke, and sometimes there was a word of chastisement to religious authorities and people that were trying to bind others up by laws and things of that nature. But Jesus in His self-declaration never spoke negativity about Himself. But He always proclaimed truth in the attributes of why He came and what He was all about. Never He spoke negativity or defeat. Jesus even said, "I am the road, also the truth, and also the life." And we hear that in the Message version on John 14:6. Let us pray. God, You spoke life into existence, meaning there's purpose. There's purpose beyond dirt. And Lord, life begot life. And You called us to thrive and to flourish, to not be alone, but to live in communion, to have fellowship with You and with others. And God, we now fellowship with Your Word that springs up new life. God, whatever is distracting us right now, if it's schedules or to-dos or news reports or things that are contrary, we dispel that in the name of Jesus. And we ask for these next few moments that they would be sober, that we would listen intently, that we would be spiritually in war, to listen and to hang on every word of truth that comes and proceeds out of Your mouth. God, I am Your servant, and I ask that there would be more of You and less of me. And even now, God, I pray that it would not fall on dry ground, but on fertile soil, that would spring up life, not 30, 60, but a hundredfold blessing. For God, You have intended it for us to be all that we have created to be, nothing more, nothing less. One that is open and responsive to Your love and Your leadership. So even now, God, we declare and decree that Your power equips and regenerates and renews. May it begin in our hearts right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Children of the great I Am, in Christ, I know what I am. What are you? That was a popular comedic act years ago, but the question still arises today. I know I am, but what are you? And that's not to me meant as a negative challenge, but it's meant to stir up the thought process of who are you in faith? Who were you created to be? I know I am, what are you? And that's the question we must always ask ourselves, because the world will tell you what you should be or what you shouldn't be. But we need to know exactly what God says about us and what God prefers for us. I know I am, but what are you? Words create worlds, do they not? Words set us up, and words can also bring us down. Has anybody ever spoken negativity over you? Maybe as a small age, a child. I remember my dad just calling me knucklehead. And for a season of my life, a long season, I believed I was a knucklehead. I believed that I was an underachiever. I believed that I was second class in ways. I believed I was a gopher instead of an apprentice. Maybe somebody spoke things out of you, but words indeed build up or they tear down. And as the people of God, we are called to speak life into existence. You even remember when Jesus spoke life and Jesus also spoke darkness over certain things. He spoke life over people that were so ready and so willing by faith to receive what He had for them. That maybe it was a healing or a touch from a family member. But sometimes when things didn't produce like what they weren't, remember the fig tree? Jesus said, "Cursed are you, you will never bear fruit again to feed anybody." And as they travel back by there a few days later, all the disciples are just surprised because that tree now is wilted. Our words are significant. Use them wisely because they build up or they tear down. Even Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. See, God is not looking for anything less than to put new wine into a new wineskin. We can't put new wine in an old wineskin because it'll burst and bloat and crack because it is not any more receptive to being able to be used to store anything new. God wants you to be new, fresh, and alive. And that's not something that happened years ago. It happens every day that you say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart." It happens every day when you wake up saying, "Yeah, it might be cold outside. It might be weary. It might be dreary. But the Son of the living God lives in my heart. And I'm going to put a smile on my face. And I'm going to go out and be blessed and bless others in my lifestyle." There's two words in the Greek found in the Bible when it refers to new. The first word is neos, and that means and connotes something that has just been created. However, there are many others existing as the same. You know, have you ever found a car you really like, and you admire it, and you read all the specs, and then later on down, you just start seeing all those same cars riding down the road? This word is not that type in the New Testament. The word we're talking about here, neos, is a word where there is many that are the same. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this new is kainos, meaning freshly created, which is unlike anything else in existence. And that's what Jesus is saying through Paul, that God has freshly created you into existence, and there is nothing else like that on planet Earth. You are one and you are only. You are a new creation in Christ. Yeah, we share humanity, but we are unique. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has an assignment for each and every one of us. We don't have to ride on the coattails of anybody else. God has something particularly just for you to do. Amen? New, fresh, nothing like it in existence. I want you to value your life. I want you to honor your life. I want you to speak words that lift up your life and lift up others around you, for truly that's why we are in this place. Not to tear down, but to build up. Friends, Jesus Christ makes something entirely new. In Christ, we are regenerated, we are renewed, and we are born again, spiritually minded and in fellowship with God. You know, Casting Crowns, some of you maybe have heard of this Christian artist group. But they wrote some lyrics, and I tried to sing this in church one time, and I couldn't make it through because I kept crying. And I think people were moved. I was moved. But it's just one of those lyrical songs that really touches humanity. And the song goes, "Who am I?" And that's the title also. "Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower that is quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Beloved, it is life and life's importance to know who Jesus really, really is and who we are in Christ. To know to whom we belong. To know His Word, that His Word is spoken in power, spoken in truth. Truth in His Word, to believe in His Word, to have faith in His Word, to speak His Word over our life and over our situation. You know, a lot of times we just tell people about our situations or we talk about how heavy our situation is, but we need to declare and decree to that situation, you might appear big, but my God is bigger. Amen. Mountain, you might look huge, but my God created you, mountain. And the Word of God says that the mountains are His footstool. He just puts His little toe on the mountain. We think so much about our situations, but we need to tell our situation how big God is. We need to speak over our lives abundant words, words that God has given us by authority to declare and to demand and to proclaim, to live into, to agree with. His words spoken to us through truth and belief and faith. To speak words over every part of our life, our external parts, our internal parts, even to say things that might seem to be contrary and out of sorts with the world, but you can begin to say, every cell in my body is regenerating and growing. I rebuke and resist any type of cancerous cells in my body. I have good vision. I have good hearing. I have balance in the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes it might not appear or feel that way, but you say to those ailments, in the name of Jesus, bow down over every life's situation. We speak in Christ that we are more than conquerors through Christ's love who gave it for us. We rejoice in God's words where Christ says, He who makes you free, all things are possible. Words in Christ, we are loved, we are forgiven, we are accepted, we are secure. In Jesus' word, we are adopted, justified, redeemed, reconciled, and chosen. God chose you from the foundations of the earth. It's not an accident that you're sitting in this place. And you better be very thankful that you're a United States citizen in this place, and a North Carolinian, and a native of wherever. But you know what? God adopted, God chose you to be thriving and to share from what affluence and what abilities and what knowledge you have about His goodness, to let your light shine. God chose you for a great assignment. To proclaim His goodness in your lifestyle and in the way that you respond to one another. God chose you. I know I am, but what are you? Words in Christ are victorious and filled with joy and filled with peace, filled with empowerment, filled with truth and the meaning of life in itself. The reality is, do we speak these words? Let's be honest. Do we speak these words? Do we live by faith in the Son of the living God? Do we rather speak words of defeat without even realizing it? Let's just tell the truth. How often do we more go to words of defeat than words of victory? We do, don't we? We speak defeat all the time. We might say, you know, I'm just too fat for that. Or we might just say, I'm out of shape. I'll never be able to do that. Or we might say, I'm ugly, or that I'm too short, or I'm too tall, I got long hair, I got short hair, I'm clumsy, I'm not smart enough, I'm not mathematically inclined, I don't have any type of artistic abilities, I can't play an instrument. You know what? If you say can't, you never will. How many times do we speak those negative words into our own context? You know, most of the time, we won't approach somebody and speak something negatively to them, will we? You know, we'll say it underneath our breath. And you know what? Let me just be honest. I was with a group of people as we went down to El Salvador, and I was the only person that knew everybody by association from connections in the past in my group. So I was kind of like the bridge. But you know what, along the way, there was one guy that didn't think the way I did. And so when I got with this other group, I started talking about that guy a little bit. And it wasn't to try to tear him down. It wasn't trying to make myself look better. He just kind of got underneath my skin a little bit. And so I started talking about him. And you know what? The next thing I know, it was like the Spirit of God saying, shut your mouth and don't you talk about another brethren. And I was like, oh God. And I had to really be honest and repent right there. And then I had to look at my friend and say, you know, I was out of line. I should not have done that. And really. And they said, oh, it wasn't a big deal. I said, it was a big deal to me. It was a big deal. But most of the time, we don't talk about people to their face, do we? We don't never go up to them and just tell them how we feel. We just murmur and complain about it, right? So we don't usually do that in that way. But how many times do we talk about ourselves? Do you ever wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, you beautiful child of God, you're going to prosper this day? No, you look at yourself and say, God, I look old. You know what? If you say that, you're going to be old, right? You're going to say, I don't feel like getting out of bed. Well, if you don't feel like getting out of bed, no use in even trying, right? How often do you say things over your own life and your own being that are just kind of downcast and things that put you down? Oh, I'll never amount to nothing. My daddy said this about me. My mama said that. The childhood playground people said. Forget what they said. What has God said about you? And how can you agree with the Word of God? Instead of saying I'm clumsy, say I'm full of balance and I'm crazy and I can do whatever. You know, you need to begin to say that. And that's not just a pep rally, and that's not kidding yourself. Of course, there are certain things that we are not created to do. You know, ask a swimmer. You know, it took time, but not everybody can swim. Not everybody can run marathons. Not everybody can engineer or design. Not everybody can play an organ or sing. But we all can do something. God's not asking us to do something He hasn't called us to do. But quit speaking death into your life and speak life into your life. And there's no telling what you'll be able to do if you agree with God. God wants you to live into your dreams and your desires. Quit speaking that defeat. You won't ever get if you don't ever speak. You know, I heard somebody say, I'll never be successful. Well, you know what? You probably won't, because you're speaking defeat in your life. I'll never be financially secure. You probably won't, because you won't ever agree with God and learn to do what is necessary to live on what you have. You always think that the glass is empty instead of full. But God is saying in the name of Jesus, speak life into those different realms. We have to begin to speak the life of Christ over every area of our life, internally and externally. There's two stories, and please forgive me if I've shared them before. You know, I can just blame it on getting to be a little bit more mature, maybe. I don't know. But they're good stories and important for today's context. If you've heard them before, then just agree like you have heard them for the first time. Or maybe it's just a good time to remember by association. But there's one story of a lady that carried a low-grade fever all of the time. She went to doctor after doctor after doctor and taken all kinds of medication to try to get her temperature balanced out. And so, you know, they could not find anything biologically to determine why she had this low-grade fever. You know, she felt a little bit hot all the time. And it wasn't because of her biological time clock. It was just the way it was. And so finally, as she was under review one day, they were having some small talk with her doctor, and she just said a phrase two or three times over and over, and it kind of gave a check to the doctor. She was saying something just contrary, and she said, you know, that just burns me up. And the doctor finally said, miss, how often do you use that? She says, I don't know. That's just one of my phrases, you know. You know, some people say this or that. I just use that phrase. I don't know why. It's just something I picked up along the way. And anytime somebody cuts me off in traffic, that just burns me up. Or if I'm overpriced at the grocery store, that just burns me up. Or if somebody lets their dog go to the bathroom on my lawn, that just burns me up. Or if there's pollen on the car, that just burns me up. He said, will you please do me a little favor this week? And she said, sure, doctor, what do you like? He said to her, will you please not use that phrase at all? Try your very best to resist not saying that. You see, he was a believer, and he knew the principles of the Word. The Word that Jesus spoke and the words that we can speak. She said, well, you know, okay, I'll try whatever I want. And so she quit saying that just burns me up. Do you know a week later, her temperature regulated? You know, if you say I'm ugly, you know what? You're going to convince yourself you're ugly. If you're going to say that I'm washed up has been, well, that's what you are, is a washed up has been. You know, I think I told you this story, but I want to share it again. I went to high school with a guy named Gene Chapman. Now, we started out wrestling, but he came along at a different time. I had about 3 years of experience on him, but we were in the same class together. And so Gene tried out for the wrestling team because he didn't make what? The basketball team. You know, he was short and he could not all black men can jump. And he just did not have any of that hand-eye skills or any of that. But he went out for wrestling. And, you know, within the first week of him understanding a little bit about this is a mat, this is a singlet, this is your headgear, this is all the equipment you need, all you need is shoes, Gene started saying, I'm going to win the state. I'm going to win the state. And, you know, in my school system, there was some affluency, and there was some kind of some pious people, and there were some upperclassmen that were really arrogant. And, you know, wrestling can breed that kind of mentality anyway. But anyway, he would walk in and say, I'm going to win the state. And there was a few people that would just right there in his face tell him that he was stupid, that that was never going to happen, that they had put all this time into it, they had worked really hard, and they didn't get to where they were successful without all of this practice and all of this hard work. And Gene just kept saying, I'm going to win the state. I'm going to win the state. And so, you know, people finally after a while just kind of placated him or just kind of, you know, joked along with him. But nobody took Gene serious. Not really even the coach. You know, when the coach would blow the whistle to turn left, Gene would turn right. When he would tell us to roll a certain way, Gene would roll the opposite way. So unorthodox that he was dangerous to wrestle because you would expect an elbow to come this way, but it would come that way. And so you had to really keep your eye on Gene because he was like a wet rag all over the place, just slipping and sliding. Well, you know what? He started to win matches. And everybody kind of took note, but they didn't take him serious. Gene every day said, I'm going to win the state. I'm going to win the state. Do you know he walked through the conference? He made it through the region. And when we got to state, could not believe it, but he was in the finals. And he would just do nothing but say, I'm going to win the state. I'm going to win the state. You know that man won the state. The next year, he's told everybody, I'm going to go to Arizona State. As a junior, we're like, no possible way. By the time he was a senior, he had scholarship applications to Arizona, Missouri, and Iowa. Now, I have to believe that he convinced himself by the words that he spoke that he was going to go to the state. You see, his family life was all discombobulated. He grew up in poverty. He grew up in the projects. He had different fathers and different family situations, many brothers and sisters scattered all over the place. He lived in a drug infestated area where there were a lot of crime. He lived in a place of brokenness, but he kept on saying to himself, I'm going to win the state. And he did. Honest to goodness, true story. The world will tell you all kinds of things. And what will you say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You can say to this world and you can say in the atmosphere, you can say in the privacy of your prayer closet, you can say it to a friend, I am blessed, I am favored, I am getting better all the time, I am intelligent, I'm mighty in the Lord, I am saved, I am well able, I am empowered, I am wealthy, I am loved, I am able, I am confident, I am full of the Holy Spirit, I am an overcomer, I am renewed daily in my thinking. I am healthy. I am successful. I'm complete in Christ. I am a lender and not a borrower, and on and on and on and on again. Do you say that? Or you say, you know, that's good for you, Corey, but I don't know about me. No, God died on the tree for you so that you could declare those things. Because Jesus said of Himself, we go back to Jesus, I am and I know what I am, what are you? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. That means He is the substance of all life. He said, I am the light of the world. That means we don't have to live in darkness. He shines the light on anything and exposes all, and He brings a revelation of His love to all that say yes. He says, I am the gate, meaning that the door is open, wide open. When that veil was torn, that means that we have access to everything God has available for us. And that's everything, life in abundance. He says, I'm the good shepherd, meaning that He will watch over you in the valleys and in the darkness and in the hardships, in the difficulties, in the struggles, in the brokenness, in the doom, in the gloom, in the uncertainty. God is a good shepherd that's there with you, leading and guiding you and loving you and protecting you and mending you and carrying you. God is the good shepherd always and evermore. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and He is divine, meaning that we can tap into the very source of life that nurtures us, feeds us, equips us, and on and on and on. Beloved, I know I am, but what are you? That's the question. And if you don't believe it, John Wesley said, if you don't have faith until you have faith. And sometimes in kind of a sports illustration, fake it until you make it. Begin to speak words of life into existence. I want you to do this week one thing for me. Resist negative talk and begin to speak confidently into your life. I'm strong, I'm able, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm blessed, I'm favored. You know, I couldn't speak much in Paquita in Spanish. Thank God for Google Translation a few times. But you know one thing that did speak? And a hug? You know, that got me some dinner a few times. Now, if I'd have been like this and off to the side, do you think they'd have bothered with me? No. Bless, not curse. Connect and be fully present in this world as a child of God. Amen? I know what I am. What are you? Let the redeemed say so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand together and sing, if you're able, the song that's on the screen up there.